Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online, and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Here's a reminder to sign up for our contest. We're giving away a $50 book, or should I say a $175 book. It's the Parallel Doctrine and Covenants that compares the 1832, 1833, and 1835 editions of the Doctrine and Covenants and shows the changes in each, parallel side by side. We've teamed up with Benchmark Books to give away this book, and we're excited to hold the contest on July 24th, 2017. Get your entry in by signing up for our newsletter at gospeltangents.com/newsletter. The RLDS Church was founded on the claim that Joseph Smith never practiced polygamy. Even on her deathbed, Emma Smith made the startling claim to some that Joseph didn't practice polygamy. Conservative bloggers such as Rock Waterman and even Denver Snuffer have claimed that Joseph Smith was a monogamist. However, current RLDS Church Prophet President Stephen Veazey has made the claim that historical records show that Joseph Smith did practice polygamy. What does Dr. Brian Hales believe about these allegations about monogamy and Joseph Smith? Well, let's talk about Emma again. So, as I understand it, on her deathbed, she said that Joseph never practiced polygamy. Why do you think she denied that? Was that just she didn't want to believe it, or she didn't want her children to believe it, or what do you
think? You know, just months before she died, Joseph Smith III asked her a series of questions, and it took several days to get these answers recorded. And they were recorded by Joseph Smith III. And in that set of questions, she said some things that are really important historically. This is where we learn about Joseph Smith dictating the Book of Mormon and then taking a break and coming back and starting off right where he left off. And details that we hold to be very important. Well, one of the questions was Joseph a polygamist? And she denies that he had any other wives than her. And there has been some theories that she may have had some senility and just meant it but had forgotten. That's Mark Staker's take on it. He shared that with me, and it will be in a book that he's working on. Lawrence Foster, who you also quoted, a very good polygamy scholar, he theorizes that the questions were phrased so that there could be plausible denial. In other words, you're going to deny polygamy, but it's not talking about celestial marriage. As I look at the questions, I don't really see that parsing of words to allow that, but Larry's a smart guy, and that's how he kind of rationalizes Emma's denial. I have an article that I've been pitching to different people to publish on the denials. And to be quite honest with you, there are at least two other denials that clearly were not senility, were clearly not specially phrased questions. where Emma just comes right out, and they're fairly well documented, said Joseph did not practice polygamy. And how do I deal with that? I don't know. I do not have a good explanation. I think Emma was an amazing woman. I look forward to meeting her someday. You know, in our theology, that's a possibility. She had the worst row to hoe of all polygamous wives, in my view. She did remarkably well. She stumbled, but I believe there's plenty of forgiveness on these things for her. And but I honestly don't know how she was able to say the things that she said. Hopefully these will be published. I put them together. I just haven't got them published yet. But it's pretty clear that she just denied it flat out, and I don't know how she made that work for her. But they're there.
Well, there's another book, Joseph Fought Polygamy. I think the price is...
it's right over there.
You've got
it. On my shelf.
So I would assume that they would probably quote Emma quite a bit as well. How do you... I've been surprised that... I know Rock Waterman has been somebody who's kind of bought into this. What... It boggles my mind why anybody would say that Joseph never practiced polygamy. But, you know, talk about what are some of the justifications for that, and then why are those justifications incorrect?
You know, it's interesting, Rick, that you would bring that up now, because by the time this interview is aired, the interpreter will have published a very long article that I've written where I don't just give evidence that Joseph did it, but I actually... attack the arguments by, I mentioned Rock Waterman, I mentioned the Prices, and then Denver Snuffer, who is, in my view, just the latest false prophet. And remember, I started looking at Mormon fundamentalism, and I documented and wrote articles on men who came as great leaders or great for this reason or that reason, and then they just fall by the wayside. And there's a number of these that I talk about in my book. And I think Denver is just the latest in all of these, this type of a pattern. But for those who have questions, the easiest way probably to detect Denver is to, he said Joseph didn't practice polygamy, and then just look at the evidence. And I outline it all here. It is true that most of the evidence that Joseph practiced plural marriage is from late sources, but not all of it. The Nauvoo Expositor states right in there that Joseph Smith had a revelation. It was read to the High Council. We've got testimonials from William Law and Jane Law saying that Joseph was teaching polygamy. These are contemporaneous. There are entries in William Clayton's journal. John C. Bennett clearly had heard some rumors. I don't think he was ever in confidence of Joseph with it. But to say that it's all old is not true. There are some very important contemporaneous sources. And then you've got a whole truckload of late sources from dozens and dozens of people who must have either been in a huge conspiracy or Joseph was practicing it and actively teaching it. I also, in that, have a section on Section 132. People say it was doctored up or something like that. It is true that the William Clayton version was destroyed. We don't know exactly how. There's contradictory evidences there. Did Emma burn it, or did she insist that Joseph burn it? I mean, there's the differences are not huge, but it clearly was destroyed. But there had been a copy made, and this is by Joseph C. Kingsbury. He did it. He, you know, he was a penman. He could write. And in that day, if you could write with a good pen, a good handwriting, that sets you apart, because not everybody was that literate in the Nauvoo era. And so he wrote this down at Bishop Whitney's request, and he kept that. This is Helen's father. He kept it in a notebook until 1847, when he was asked to give this to Brigham. And we have an account from Horace Whitney, who wrote it down, copied it, and that copy they still have, I guess. I don't know. But the copy that Joseph C. Kingsbury wrote down is available online. You can find it on the Joseph Smith Papers Project. I've reposted it too. But if you look at it, it's clearly in Kingsbury's hand. It's not been doctored up. There's no evidence that anybody was editing it or making changes in it or anything like the accusations are saying. And we've got testimonies from Clayton and Kingsbury that this is the actual document that Joseph dictated that day. So it dates back to 1843. The provenance is very good. The idea that Brigham had it written up or something is not supported by any kind of evidence. So this is the first time I think anybody has actually written down a provenance of the Kingsbury copy. And there may be some details we wish we had, but it's really pretty clear that Whitney kept it until 1847, and Brigham had it, and he published it in 1853 to try to bring in some other scenario to support Denver Snuffer's version or something. Just, it's a contrivance. There's just no way to do it from a historical documentation standpoint, in my view.
Okay. So you mentioned, as far as the revelation, so do you think Joseph had an idea that Emma would throw that in the fire, and that's why they made two copies of Section 132?
I think it's a coincidence that there was a second copy made. The accounts don't say Joseph was pushing for this. Hiram was involved, but they wanted this copy, and so they just allowed it to happen. So then there were two copies running around, and we have numerous accounts from people saying they saw it. They read the copy, and we can't ever tell, was this the Clayton copy, or it had been destroyed, and this was the Kingsbury copy? My guess is that most of these accounts are talking about the Clayton copy before it was destroyed, because the Kingsbury copy was not circulated.
So Clayton wrote a copy, Kingsbury wrote a copy, and the Clayton copy got thrown in the fire by Emma.
Right.
The Kingsbury copy stayed. Okay. Yeah. That's very interesting. Now, one other question. Since you mentioned Denver Snuffer, I read his book, and it's, in his book, he mentioned that he thought that DNC 132 was actually four different revelations received at different times, and essentially Brigham Young conflated them all together. That there was the eternal marriage, which was basically monogamous, and then there's the polygamy revelation, if I'm remembering this right. Then there's the message to Emma, where it says, if you don't accept this, you're going to be destroyed. And I'm trying to remember what the fourth one was. What is your opinion on that? Do you think that's true, that this could have been four separate revelations that were conflated together as a single revelation?
Well, the idea that the revelation can be divided into three or four sections is not new. People have been saying that for decades. Okay. And the way you divided it up is quite exact. You go up, you have eternal marriage mentioned up till about 32. Then there's some discussion about polygamy, old time polygamy, Old Testament polygamy, and then we launch in. I think it's around verse 51 to Emma, that takes up the next 15 verses.
Yeah,
till. Well, you could actually divide it at 61, but she's mentioned again in, I think, 64. So those are the three or four divisions that are typically made. And we don't know when they were received, but by every account we have, it was dictated from verse 1 to 66. You've got to start speculating and making up a history if you want to say that part of it was dictated here and another part was made up here and then it came together. There's just nothing to support that historically. Clayton said he wrote it down completely, Kingsbury,
in one session.
It's in his journal. It's in Joseph's journal. I mean, there's contemporaneous evidence in two places that a revelation was written on July 12, 1843, and it dealt with polygamy. And then you've got the Kingsbury copy, which goes from beginning to end. And people can make up their own historical fictions, but if we make those a basis for our belief system, you know, we're going to get into trouble. And if you want to disagree with me or with this account, that's great, but bring some evidence. Everybody wins. We may not agree at the end of it, but at least we'll be looking at documents that can help us find the truth rather than just speculations that come out of the air, as near as I can tell.
Mm-hmm. I hope you enjoyed our discussion with Dr. Brian Hales. In our next conversation, we'll conclude our discussion with Dr. Brian Hales, and I'll ask him about what other projects he's working on. I'll also ask if he played any role in the writing of the essays on LDS.org. Finally, I'll ask him if ward members know about his books and that he's written so much on polygamy.
And yet other times when Laura and I meet with people, it's just, I think, a box that they have to check as they're on their way out of the church. Oh, yeah, I met with the Hales. They didn't help. And so they've kind of already given up their faith. But The only thing I would say is if you've got questions, dive in. I believe there's somebody in the church who knows more about it than the person who wrote whatever you're reading on the internet, and they still believe.
Hey, podcast listeners, I wanted to tell you about some of our future guests coming up, as well as some that we'd like to invite. I'd also like you to let us know who you'd like to hear from, and also if you have any questions for our guests. Go to gospeltangents.com/contact to let us know who you'd like us to interview, as well as if you have any questions. Over the next few weeks, we'll have Jim Van Cannon. He's a member of the First Presidency of the Remnant Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We've also got a polygamy expert, Ann Wild. In addition to that, we'll be talking to David Rosenvall on his theory of the Book of Mormon. Some future guests that we'd like to get are Dan Vogel and Simon Southerton. Dan is an expert on Joseph Smith, and Simon Southerton has done a lot of work on DNA in the Book of Mormon. In addition to that, we're hoping to get Richard Turley and Janice Johnson, who've written the new book on the Mountain Meadows Massacre. Who else would you like to hear from, and what questions would you like to ask them? Please, once again, go to our website, gospeltangents.com/contact, and let us know. Thanks again. Click here to subscribe, click here for a transcript, and over here you'll see some other videos that we've done here on YouTube. We hope you'll use this as a valuable resource to learn more about Mormon history.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.